I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, kind of fly under, lower under the radar, you would think. And then the next day, they're just on social media posting stupid stuff. And I'm just like...
That's narcissism.
Yeah.
That's it. Or they call
it... That's a good point.
Solipsistic, where you just think the whole world revolves around you. That's what that is. You are... It's something that you usually grow out of, and you have good people in your life that teach you that, guess what? You're not a little baby anymore. The world isn't about you like it was. And you grow out of it and learn you're part of a group. And, you know, you gotta be cool to the tribe.
Yeah,
and he just doesn't get it. Here's the sad thing. If you watch that ESPN 30 for 30 about OJ, which was a terrific series, you realize that OJ was probably the most influential African-American in the 60s and 70s.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was doing so much for the positivity towards African-Americans and Caucasian-Americans getting along. And then for him to be this at the end of his life is so sad, because he could always have been an amazing figure for bringing everybody together in this country. He was that guy, and he was just an idiot. It's too bad. Because he could have been still an amazing person.
I'm looking at another one of his videos where he's talking about Tom Brady, but he's doing the whole video with his hands in his pockets. First comment: are your hands in your pockets because you're missing a glove?
Yeah, what is he thinking? Nobody wants to hear from you, OJ, except to troll you. Oh, and you know,
he's got a lot of people following. Oddly enough, he's not verified on Twitter, which I think is very... I wonder if that's Twitter just making a stand.
Yeah, maybe
saying we're not going to verify him, because you would think, you know, I mean, yeah, he is a public figure.
If you're a Buffalo, do you want him to take down his splash page with his Buffalo Bills jersey on? You know, he's got his old, when he played for the Bills. If you're Buffalo, please take that down, OJ.
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily they're celebrating the history of OJ Simpson.
No, they're not. It's unfortunate. Again,
I think Scott Norwood has a better history that they can share now.
Yeah, he does.
For the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, he does. They love Scotty a lot more than that. That's the other tragic thing. Imagine the Ken Griffey Jr. of your franchise that you can't celebrate. Because it's pretty much like the Mariners and Bills have the same thing going for them. I mean, at least the Bills did go to four championships. But, you know, there's not a lot of people you know in Buffalo Bills lore, except unfortunately Scott Norwood, and really O.J. Simpson is one of the biggest figures in their history of their team.
Who's the quarterback, the big guy?
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly.
Yeah, you know, but O.J. obviously was, you know, he was the Michael Jordan of the sport.
Yeah.
And you can't celebrate that because of the piece of that he's become. Nobody in sports has that. I mean, you know, Barry Bonds is never going to be celebrated because of the steroids, but he didn't kill anybody, or at least wasn't even, he wasn't accused of killing anybody. How bad is that for the Bills?
Like one person here says, I never liked football, but as a kid, I had an O.J. Simpson poster on my wall. These days, he's a train wreck. Yeah, for me, O.J., I was more of a fan of O.J. because of like the Naked Gun movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
I'd watch them with my dad as a kid. I didn't know what was going on. Now as an adult, going back and watching those, I'm like, oh.
The guy had the world by the boys. You know, you had Muhammad Ali, who was a great sports figure, but he was not a guy that got along with people, including, you know, white America. You know, he had a whole different viewpoint, which, you know, I mean, a lot of folks say was important. But O.J. was the guy that everybody loved. Like, white America loved O.J. And that's why it's like, what he's become is really crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying in the 60s.
Sounds weird. Well, it's just too, like, white America.
Well, I mean, in the 60s, that's what it was. And
I understand.
If you watch the 30 for 30, Steve, I know it's disturbing to hear a person talk that way, but back then, he broke so many barriers that most people did not want an African American associated with anything, and yet for some reason there was something about him that there was no white person that had a problem with him. It was unbelievable for that time in the 60s, which was horrific for race relations. That's why it's so sad that he's become what he's become, because he was so healing. I mean, everybody loved that guy. And even my parents and the people I grew up with, all the racists in my family, they never said a bad thing about O.J. They said a bad thing about a lot of other African-American sports people, but never about O.J. And that's what really was amazing for that time. And to see what he's become is just so sad. But, yeah, you know, I mean.
So we're going to have another great Buffalo Bill, Marshawn Lynch, drafted by the Bills. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I think some Buffalo Bills fans are still a little sour about that.
I know. Yeah. It just goes to show you that a player really does do well with the right coaching. He just didn't have the right circumstances in Buffalo. And, you know, boy, Pete Carroll really knows how to bring people around and everybody that buys into his system. I think that, you know, I'm happy for Pete Carroll because in New England, they didn't buy into his system either. They didn't think he was worth a damn.
Yeah. Also a little age. I mean, he had a good run in college football, helped Pete Carroll as well, kind of develop his own voice and his own style of coaching. Because, I mean, he was way younger back then.
But imagine this, though. And see, I know it's a culture clash. I thought, wow, Pete Carroll's style of coaching in Boston, because Boston's the exact opposite of Seattle. Seattle is a place where, you know, people will listen and collaborate, and they'll be willing to hear. And, oh, by the way, they don't want that the tough love where it's almost abusive. And Pete brought that here. I can see that not flying in New England, because New England is not, they're the tough love. We're always a fighting and everything's a problem kind of place.
Has Marshawn made his decision yet, if he's even attempting to come back? Not to say that the Seahawks definitely would keep him around, but I was just looking online. I don't see anything about him saying he's officially retired or
really
done.
You know, when it was all said and done, Steve, he really wasn't that impressive. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, maybe if he had some training under him.
Yeah, he might be the backup to the backup to the backup. I mean, he was kind of fun to have on. I think he brought a lot of energy onto the sidelines.
Oh, that's a fact. If you could
bring him on as a coach.
If you could have him in any way, shape, or form be on the team where you're not taking a massive financial hit and he could influence those young guys, you are right, Steve. There's no doubt about that having Marshawn Lynch for all the players would be a joy and a delight. That's the great thing about having any grizzled veteran. It's just a matter of like how much is he going to want, you know? And, I hate to say it, but he just wasn't that effective for the most part on the field. But off the field, he was terrific. And he may have given a shot in the arm to a lot of folks thinking, you know, they were going through adversity. And we went farther than we should have, to be honest with you, considering.
Should have went further.
I know, but, you know, when
everybody's injured, it's kind of difficult.
When you're down to basically the running back that, you know, he used to work at the supermarket and, you know, whatever, you know, and now that's the one who's your main running back.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, hey, if we have a season start on time, but I'd hope that it would start eventually. But it's just going to be a whole new look to the team, it feels. Like, there's so many different, like, you just see some of the, especially like that offensive line.
Yeah,
it's going to be cool to see what's going to happen with them.
I will tell you this. As much as, a certain high officer in the land wants us done by Easter, and the reasons that people go, are you kidding me? Are you going to sacrifice life just so that people can make a profit? I think everybody will be in agreement that the NFL, which is the new America's pastime, that is when people are going to lose their S if somehow that doesn't start on time. Look, basketball, hockey, baseball, sure, they got their fans. But, Steve, football?
Oh, well, yeah. So you think about just like fantasy football.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of money that will be lost in that and some angry people.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to talk about at work every day for, like, you know, X amount of months?
And imagine, when does it start when they're really, like, is it August? Like, when they start, like, having games and really everybody's reporting to camp? Is it, like, you know, late July, early August when that starts? If there is a, like, okay, we're not sure by then, I mean, that's a long time from now. People are not going to be happy. I feel like they hope to have this figured out by then. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've all figured it out. So Joaquin Phoenix, he played the Joker.
Yes. And, still haven't watched that. It's on demand.
Yeah. He won the Academy Award for that.
I heard that. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not ready. Like, I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to be in the right mindset to sit and watch a heavy movie like that.
Right now, I'm not sure.
I'm sure it's not even going to be like as heavy as I think it's going to be. But like, it took us forever to watch Peanut Butter Falcon, which actually is. I mean,
you told me about that, right, before?
It's an incredible story. But like, you watch the trailer and you're like, oh, this looks like a real feel-good story, but one of those ones that's going to tug on your emotions. And I don't know if I really want to deal with that right now. I just want to watch a dumb comedy or a stupid action film. Oh, man, I'm kicking myself for waiting as long as I did. That movie was amazing.
Yeah.
So I bet the Joker's kind of the same thing. No?
It's not a happy ending.
There's nothing happy about it.
Yeah.
No.
No, at least if you get good feels. And
doesn't hang out with Shia LaBeouf and do silly things. And
No Shia LaBeouf in this movie.
No Shia LaBeouf. Though arguably, I mean, you know, sometimes with Shia's mental state, he could have been in this movie. Joaquin Phoenix unfortunately got into an accident, but it was back in 2006. where the car ended up upside down with him still in the driver's seat. German director Werner Herzog just happened to be nearby, so he went over to help. And in a new interview, Werner says that Joaquin's first instinct, even before getting out of the car, was to get a nicotine fix. He said, quote, Joaquin was upside down in the car, squished between airbags that had deployed, and wildly trying to light a cigarette. Ooh, because that ain't good. You got gasoline dripping, and I don't know what if that's flammable, the stuff inside your airbags.
Yeah, but I imagine for him, he wasn't even thinking like that. Probably just a moment of panic and stress, and what better way to relieve it than to smoke?
Dude, you're out of your mind sometimes. Yeah. Like, when I got in a car accident...
I remember you saying that, yeah.
Yeah, you just don't know what the hell you're doing. So, you know, this director, Werner Herzog, was like, okay, I can't have this guy go up in a fireball. So he tried to be clearly commandeering to him and telling him, you are not going to do that, Joaquin Phoenix. But he said, I was worried if you give him such a command, he would strike his lighter even harder. So I managed to snatch the cigarette lighter from his hand. And after that crisis was averted, Werner helped Joaquin out of the car. Then he left before Joaquin could thank him. In an interview after the accident, Joaquin said, quote, there's something so calming and beautiful about Werner Herzog's voice. I completely felt fine and safe. Well, that's nice if you got that kind of voice and you go, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to put that cigarette and I'll take it from you. And a person goes, okay.
Has anyone ever rolled their car?
No. Well, wait, I haven't. I think you, Danny?
Yes. Okay. I was in the car. I didn't actually roll it, but we were driving down.
Which I meant. Like, yeah. I didn't mean that. Like you went over to a car and just tipped it over.
No, yeah. I just meant I wasn't driving.
Gotcha. You were still in a rolled car, baby.
Yeah, I was in a rolled car.
You were in the passenger seat or back seat?
Passenger seat. Wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And this was in high school, and we thought it was a good idea to ditch school and go on this hill called Suicide Hill and go really fast. However, my friend forgot that there was a turn really quick, and she didn't slow down. We hit the guardrail.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Ford Escape.
Okay.
Yeah, like one of the SUV ones.
Yeah.
And it basically, the guardrail threw us the other way. We flipped twice.
Oi.
And landed straight side up, right side up. And we somehow didn't fall out of the, because the windows were open and everything. And I had scrapes on my knees from the weeds as I rolled past them. Because they came into the window.
Oh, you are so lucky, dude.
I was so lucky.
Whoa. So when you landed back on its tires, back on upright, did you just fall right back into the seat? Or were you in some weird position?
Weird position. I was sitting my feet were
off. You've been impaled by the gear shifter in certain spots of your body.
It was really bad.
Oh, geez.
Well, and actually it is interesting, and I do not advocate not wearing your seatbelt. Always wear your seatbelt. However, if I would have been wearing I'm just saying, if I would have been wearing the seatbelt the right way, my legs would have been broken because I wouldn't have been able to freely move, and my seat got pushed into the dashboard. Oh my God. I don't know how that all happened.
Wow.
Somebody was watching out for us.
Yeah, I guess so.
Damn.
Oh, man.
What'd you guys do right after that? I would have probably wanted to, get some food or something.
Get a lottery.
Celebrate life.
We need some ice cream, Steve. Sadly, we went to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Steve would have got food first.
I would have stopped at the cafeteria and said, can I grab something on the way up to the doctor's?
You know, Steve, if anybody were to ever ask you, hey, what would you have done in that situation? I think we would have been able to guess that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That you would have went and got some food. Yeah, you would have
done
that.
Hey, ambulance, can we stop at McDonald's? Can I get a McFlurry?
Yeah, sure thing, sir. We'll be right.
I'll buy yours as well.
Yeah. Well, I got a McFlurry
nice
for you.
Yeah.
So he says, hey, dude, Peanut Butter Falcon, an amazing movie. I loved it. Also, I've yet to see Joker either. It seems too depressing. Has anyone else seen Peanut Butter Falcon yet?
Not yet.
No.
So it's about a guy who has Down syndrome, and he's stuck in a old age home being watched there as well. It's a very weird setup, and he's in a bad environment, and so he just wants to get out. He wants to break out and go track down this guy because he obsessively watches wrestling, and he wants to learn how to become a wrestler. And so that sold me because obviously... But
is it based on a true story?
I don't know.
I don't know why I thought this was based on a true story, but you maybe I'm not gonna. Okay.
Then he befriends this guy that's always in trouble. He's a problem guy, and that's Shia LaBeouf, and they just kind of go on this adventure together to try and get to this wrestling school. It has nothing to do really with wrestling. I mean, there's a couple Mick Foley's in it and some other people too, but it's really this dynamic between them two and another person as well that's in it, a female. I can't remember her name. She's a popular actress though.
Dakota Johnson.
Yes, and I thought it was going to be a slow-moving, couple of fun moments in the movie. The entire movie is fun.
And is the dude that
plays... It's so different and cool.
Is the dude that plays the guy trying to, with Down syndrome, is he a Down syndrome actor?
I would imagine so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
I I didn't do the research to find out for sure, but I have to imagine he is.
If he is, that's amazing that they, you know, they get him to play the role and do the thing. Yeah, Vicky's saying, yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's great. He's great. So, I mean, you just fall in love with all of the characters.
Netflix?
Is it Netflix? No, it's on demand.
Oh, okay.
But it's got like 96% on Rotten Tomatoes for both the users and the critics.
That's a good movie.
So I've never seen that where they had the exact same rating.
I might have to, I might need a little pick-me-up because it sounds like it's got, you know, it's heartwarming.
It is heartwarming and it's, yeah, you're going to leave it in a good mood.
Yeah, the Joker, you're not going to leave in a good mood.
Someone says it's an amazing movie, but not a true story. Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh, well, how I just said, what a great job they did with the whole idea of it.
But if you love,
How Shia?
He's great.
Okay.
He's awesome. So you love Shia, you love wrestling, and if you love peanut butter, you're going to enjoy this movie.
All right, there we go. This is a Steve movie just like that.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really hit me in
every way. So long for you. Hit all three of your things.
And it was one of those ones where I'm like, I guess we should watch. We have nothing else to watch. We've watched everything. As far as movies, like the new movies that we want to see. So finally, we're like, let's just watch it. And we both didn't fall asleep once.
It is unfortunate that you guys are really not like crazy binger people. Like there's a lot of shows that don't appeal to you. Because there's so many shows right now that I go, gosh, I wish that I didn't watch. So I watch. Right now, I'm kind of like, there's nothing I really want to watch out there right now. And I know there's a lot of great shows. But I don't know. Again, some of them are like The Joker. It's like, I don't want to watch a show that's just going to depress me unless it's really clever or maybe it's got a message that I can get into and I'll put up with some violence because the message itself is still worth getting.
We wanted something lighthearted yesterday, so we watched Shark Tank. We haven't watched Shark Tank in forever. Well,
Shark Tank is, especially now, you know.
It's great.
Now you're like, well, geez, I feel like at least, you know, the people are getting out and are having a good life.
We watched the one that had a guy that was trying to like pitch a Airbnb type of a service, but it's for swimming pools.
Swimming B&B.
It's called like Swimbly or something stupid like
that.
So
you could basically visit people's pools?
So you can rent out somebody's pool for a couple of hours. The guy came up with it because he noticed that like his next door neighbor was never using their pool. So he's like, hey, can our family use your pool? And then eventually like they chipped in for some of the maintaining of it and all that. He's like, what if there was like an app where you can find a local person in your neighborhood that has a pool that doesn't use it, and it would be cool with you having a pool party there for a couple of hours.
Not exactly super timely nowadays, but still a good idea.
I'd imagine this was an older episode.
Yeah, still not a bad idea once everything gets back to normal.
Spoiler alert, no one liked the idea.
Oh, so it didn't go through. Oh, I wonder how, was Mr. Wonderful just
out? Well, they're like, how are we supposed to use the bathroom? He's like, well, they got to get out, what are you going to do?
It's poo-poo. Take it out back and shoot it.
Right, like if you're hanging out having a party there for a couple of hours and some random person's backyard pool and you have to go to the bathroom and they're like, not home.
Oh, hadn't thought about that.
Everyone's going to be using your pool as a bathroom.
Oh, you're right. That hadn't thought about that. How he didn't think of that? Oh, yesterday, Steve, he did get this one right.
What number is represented in Morse code by 5 dots?
Help.
No.
Huh?
5.
Yes. Good job, buddy.
I had to sound it out.
Yeah. What number? Help.
Help. Help me.
Yeah. I don't know where that is. Is that between 7 and 8?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about 3 or 3.5 years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.